Hi, welcome to part two of Unseen Victories, Beyond the Paralympic Glory. If you haven't listened to part one yet, go back in and tune in, you won't want to miss it. In part two, our guests, elite athletes Riley Batt and Natasha Price, open up about some of their personal struggles, including Natasha's time spent in aged care at only 28 years old.
Are you sick of the same old disability stereotypes? We were too, so we did something about it. Welcome to That Was Unexpected, the disability lifestyle podcast for everyone. Brought to you by YoungCare and hosted by me, Lisa Cox. Join our amazing guests as we delve into topics that don't often hit the headlines. So let's do this. Prepare for the unexpected. If you're low vision like me or have other accessibility requirements, check out our show notes. Before we get started, we'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of land on which we record. We pay respects to the elders, past, present and emerging.
Tash, you spent a bit of time in aged care, didn't
you? I did. So because, you know, as I spoke about earlier, my disability was something that just happened overnight. And when I was first sick, I was just in a little town in the UK and they didn't have a rehab hospital there. The only place that I could go to get used to life as a blind person, this was before I lost the use of my legs, was an aged care facility. And it was a facility where the average age was 89 years old, and most of the patients had some form of dementia. So it was really tough. I was 28 at the time, and the facility itself wasn't set up for somebody not only who was younger, but also somebody who was actually trying to get out and start figuring out this new life. There wasn't the mental health support, to help me to, I guess, accept my new situation. So that was something I had to figure out on my own. But there also wasn't the support of, getting used to using a white cane, getting used to my new reality and the new ways in which my body was functioning. So it was definitely a tough time and something that I had to figure out on my own. And I think that's where mental resilience and the ability to use humor was probably my saving grace then, because I can manage to find something funny in almost every situation, mostly very inappropriately so.
Oh, but always.
I think people that have a good sense of humor and the ability to see not necessarily positives in everything, but the humor in everything, definitely get through these challenges a little bit easier.
I don't know what you find, but I like to joke around with people, especially people I've just met, about jokes where, I can't even stand up for myself.
Oh, you got it.
Or wheelchair, yeah. Or leg jokes. And the amount of people who, you got two different people who cringe and don't know how to react, and people who laugh. And I think it's really cool when people they have a chuckle with it and have a, they're just, oh, that was funny, because they're people who can accept your disability more, in my opinion, and they're not, I don't know what the word would be, but they're not sort of like, they're not worried about your disability as much. They're happy for you to have a joke about yourself, and it is so funny seeing those two types of people just either cringe or laugh when you pick on yourself.
I quite interestingly and enjoy how far I can push the barrier and get people to say, I quite enjoy the cringe. I know it's really mean of me, but I think sometimes you've got to let people know that it's okay to have a laugh and a joke.
Oh,
there's a really big difference, in my personal opinion, between having a sense of humor about something and being offensive and purposely being offensive. Yeah. I think I think that's often a line that people forget about, because we're all too worried about being politically correct. But at the end of the day, people with disabilities are just the same as anyone else. We can have a laugh, we can have a joke, we can banter, and I really love it when people join in with that banter with us, because that's life. Isn't life about living and enjoying ourselves and having a good laugh?
Absolutely. We can't swear around you or say anything inappropriate. It's like, no, please don't.
Yeah. I felt really bad for this manager of a hotel recently. I spent a stay in the city in Brisbane and went to this nice hotel, a bit of a boutique hotel, and went in there with my partner and we got upgraded. They upgraded our room. And I was like, oh, how nice are these guys upgrading our room? Went into the room and I was like, where's the bed? Where's the bathroom? I don't know where it is. And then found this spiral staircase up to this like mezzanine. And I just looked at my partner. We had a laugh. I'm like, did this guy even realize I'm in a wheelchair? Like he served me at the counter. Like I'm in a wheelchair. I right? didn't. And just didn't even tweak, click for yeah. him. So I'm very able. So I just picked my wheelchair up and I just sort of bummed it up the stairs. And we got changed up there and had a shower and then came back down to go out for the night. And he ran up to us when we were going past reception. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, what for? He goes, I didn't even register. I upgraded you to a room with the beds upstairs. And he felt so little. And then it was funny though because he didn't change my room, but there was four stairs out the front of this hotel. And then he offered assistance to go down these four stairs. And I'm like, mate.
You've just done a flight of stairs.
I was going to say, okay. I've just gone up and down stairs in the bedroom. But he felt pretty small. But we had a bit of a laugh about it later on when I came back. And I think that's what it's about. I was like, mate, it's all good. You know what I mean? I think that's actually pretty special that he actually saw me and he was serving me and upgraded our room. Me in front of him, and he didn't see the disability.
Yeah.
So that's where my mind went. And you know, people listening at home are probably going, "Mate, you know, how did you not see that? Like, that's so silly of him." But I think it's something special, and that's just the way you take those things. Yeah, I didn't take it as something rude. I thought it was pretty cool that he didn't see that disability and didn't think I needed that assistance.
Yeah. Why do you think the Olympics get so much more the coverage or airtime, all those sorts of things than the Paralympics?
Yeah, well, look, I'm going into my sixth Paralympic cycle. So Paralympic Games, Olympic Games is every 4 years. It's not like, you know, other sports where they have their major, you know, premierships or whatever every year. We have it every 4 years. So we don't get that time in the spotlight as much as mainstream sports. What can be tough. But what I have noticed over, as I said, this being my sixth Paralympic cycle, is the growth of the Paralympic Games. Yeah. The growth of mainstream media taking it over, the acknowledgement of just people in the community of the Paralympics. In Athens, my first Paralympic Games, I know Sydney 2000 was a great success, but in Athens, I was pretty underwhelmed, to be honest. It was, you know, I think SBS did the coverage then and, you know, just I don't know if the Paralympics was sort of in the vision of most people when there was a half an hour highlights package a night, and how are you meant to be a role model for kids with a disability or, you know, a household name if you're getting a half an hour package every night? It grew a little bit in Beijing, obviously on the same time zone. And I can't remember the time package there, but it was a little bit more, maybe a couple of hours a night. And then London, it took off a little bit more, and especially the UK. The UK, it was live on Channel 4 over there. Yeah. They did big billboards, you know, I think one of them, I can't remember what it said, but it was a big black sign with white writing after the Olympics finished and went, thanks for the warm-up, and then had the Paralympics.
Yes, I remember that.
And that was pretty controversial, but I think that's pretty cool. And like every game we played in, we won the gold medal in London there, but it was absolutely packed and like, people couldn't get tickets quick enough, you know, to the wheelchair rugby, and every sport was just packed and they really got behind it. It was awesome. Obviously, the time difference for us was very hard. So, you know, getting viewership with the, you know, at home was quite tough. And then you went into the Rio Paralympic Games where they obviously were the whole Olympics and Paralympics. They're worried about, you know, just crime and the games in general going ahead and whatnot because it was just a bit unorganized. It was an amazing games, amazing. And that was the same. Wheelchair rugby was the hottest ticket in town, and it was just, we played in the gold medal final there and won the gold medal, and it was just probably the most hectic game of my life. Just, you know, I think it was 16,500 people in that stadium that were allowed, packed out, people standing everywhere in the seats, screaming Brazilian fans. It was incredible. And then back at home, we got the reception as well. I feel like that was when I think Channel 7 took over then. They might have taken over in London, I can't remember. But, yeah, they took over and did really good. You know, I think they were starting to go on, like, catch-up TV then and on apps and whatnot. And then we obviously went into Tokyo. Tokyo was a bit of a letdown because COVID, bloody COVID. We couldn't obviously have people in the crowds there, and no family could come over. And I know, like, wheelchair rugby in general was sold out within 2 days of them opening tickets. But then we played in front of absolutely no one. It was like cricket. So when you're playing out there, it was weird.
Yeah,
it was like you're playing, like you're in a training facility, and it was just eerie, and it was hard to get that adrenaline.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must have taken the momentum out of it a little bit.
100%.
Because you draw on that crowd.
Yeah. I don't hear the crowd when you're out there. Like, even though, like, you know, I wouldn't be able to hear you screaming at me in front of, you know, in front of those crowds when you're out there. It is brutal. You don't actually hear the crowds, but I think it's just that white noise.
The energy there.
You just feel that energy.
Yeah.
And that was weird. But I think the good thing is Australia was going through another wave of COVID, and people were at home and they were watching the Paralympic Games. And Channel 7 did a fantastic job, really good job of promoting the Paralympic Games. You know, it was on, I think it was 7 or 7 Mate, and it was on continuously. And then you obviously had all the apps where you could go on every different sport. There was highlight packages in there. And I'm not sure of the numbers, but the Paralympics almost got as many views as the Olympics. And I think that's really special. And I think it was amazing for people to see what people with disabilities can do and the barriers they can break down. And obviously we talked about early in the show as well about kids with disabilities and having role models. How good's that?
Yeah.
You know, they see role models out there. So
and the non-disabled community can, they're all stuck at home because there's nowhere to go because it's COVID. And like, this Paralympics thing is kind of all right.
It's almost educational,
these,
right?
These guys are awesome.
It's almost educational for a lot of people as well because so many people, you know, might look at us and go, oh, how are they going to do that? And then they see us compete in sport and they're like, oh, wow.
Yep.
That's how they do it.
Stuff.
You know, they can do stuff.
oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And then
we get that a lot, don't we? But Channel 9's taking over the Paris Games, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. But, I'm sure every night, every day there's going to be sort of 12 hours of coverage on their channel, and then obviously through their app as well. Obviously it's going to be different because Tokyo, where we had such high viewership, was almost on our time zone. I think they were one, two-hour difference.
Yeah.
But then Paris is going to be what, a 10-hour difference or whatnot. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be hard with the times there. But, I'm excited. I've really enjoyed seeing the growth of...
It's been so good to watch it grow. Not just the Olympics and the Paralympics, but representation across the board. I know there's a long way to go, but we've certainly
always room for improvement. There's always room for improvement. But hey, as we spoke about, Brisbane 32 is coming up. Australia will get behind it, and unfortunately, it might not be our time. Well, you might. You're saying you might.
Why not?
Natasha said she might be going for that record, the oldest record. Hey, I'm all behind you for that.
Why not?
I love that. But the thing is, there's going to be a new generation coming through who've potentially been watching athletes like myself and Natasha, and we've been their role model. And I think that's even more special, watching an athlete that you have been able to mentor or motivate, and they're coming through and representing Australia. Like, that's... You know, I've won 2 gold medals, you know, and won world champs and whatnot. To be honest, that would trump that.
There's nothing better than that, that feeling of knowing that you have helped to motivate and inspire a junior coming through and in, you know, whatever area of life when you have a disability, and know that your visibility, your mentorship, or the things that you're doing have actually helped them to go out and achieve their goals and achieve incredible things. And it's it's definitely special.
Do you think your mindset as an able bod as opposed to now has changed? So 5 in the morning as an able bod, like, oh crap, I've got to get out of bed, 100%. Go to the gym. But now how is it different?
Totally. For me, I've always been a person that's been motivated with my goals, but this is on a completely different level. And I think it's because, you know, I spent pretty much 10 years bed bound.
Yep.
And it's given me a new perspective on life. And I know that sounds really fluffy, but it's true. It's true. I see life and opportunities in a very, very different way now. If something gets thrown at me, it doesn't matter what challenge it is. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm doing it. I don't care. You tell me. I could be absolutely crapping myself, but I'm like, I'm going to do it anyway, because life is for living. And you really know that when you've spent so long not being able to do anything, not being able to do a damn thing for myself, having to rely on somebody to wipe my ass and shower me every day and not be able to feed myself and not be able to sit up on my own and just those things have changed me as a person. Yeah. So now I'm like, yeah, do you know what? Bugger it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to try it. I don't care. I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning every morning and make sure that I do the things that I love. And I'm going to stay up 20 hours a day doing stupid shit because I want to experience life and I want to make up for that missed time.
Yeah, movement in whatever way you can.
Exactly.
I know not everyone can go for a run, but movement, whether it's through exercise or something else, is such a bloody privilege.
So important.
And you realise that when you have it all taken away.
Exactly.
Like, damn it, I want to move now. So now every time I go to the gym, like, damn it, I look stupid. I look ridiculous climbing on equipment and... But
who cares? And we're lucky to be able to do that. And I think for me, I had to start somewhere. I had to take those initial steps to get myself out of bed. But there was always this goal that it was never about me wanting to get to the Paralympics at that point. It was just about getting myself up and being able to do and, you know, transfer out of bed on my own, shower on my own, go to the toilet unaided. But those goals progressed as time went on. And I'm like, do you know what? There is so much more to life. There's so much more to life than just you know, experience the grind day in, day out. I want more. And I think, and that's the case for a lot of people. And it doesn't matter whether you have a disability or not. You just got to go out and chase those goals and dreams, no matter what they are. You know, no matter what obstacles are there in the way, you just find a way of adapting and overcoming. These goals might be different to what they were years ago, but so what? Still go out and achieve great things.
Oh, 100%. That sort of answers my next question.
Sorry.
That's okay. I was going to say that there's a lot of people who just want to generally be fit, whether it's going for a walk, going to the gym, that sort of thing, aren't aiming for the Paralympics, mm-hmm. like you said, but just want to be more fit and healthy, whether they have a disability or not, and whether or not that is functional movement so they can just get up and do basic things or perhaps a bit more. But what sort of advice would you have, both of you, for those sorts of people who are really struggling with the motivation or something like that? Because you've both just been absolutely amazing in the way you've found that motivation despite challenges.
Yeah, well, for me, I think time management's huge. It's absolutely crucial. You know, setting a calendar, setting time. So, you know, for yourself, for your physical, for your mental health. We can all get caught up in this world with, you know, being social or caught up in the Netflix shows or whatever you're doing. Set yourself a routine so you know that, hey, it's 7 a.m. Let's, you know, it's time to go to the gym, you know, 7 to 8 or 7 to 9 or whatever you're doing, and just get it done. There is days, and I'm sure Natasha's been through the same with me. There's times you're just like, oh, I could not be bothered to train. And I had one yesterday. I was like, I could not be bothered to train today. I feel just absolutely drained. Once I got into it and just pushed that first 5 minutes and just got warmed up, I was like, what was I whinging about?
Oh, yeah.
It was easy.
Get back, it's great.
Just get there. Get to the gym. Start your warm up, whatever you're doing, and just it'll be okay. You'll be fine. You know, if you aren't feeling the best, just take it a little bit easier that day. You've still done something, and consistency is huge. But yeah, when I say time management, there's always enough time in the day. There's people out there who say, "Oh no, I just don't have enough time." I'm not saying I was the most busiest guy in the world, but a couple of years ago, I was going through running a CrossFit gym, PTing. Kids with disabilities, training for myself, working full-time for Suncorp, captain of the Australian wheelchair rugby team, co-captain of the Australian Paralympic team, as well as driving teenagers around for school and sports every afternoon. People will go, how did you fit that in? I just had to get up at 4 a.m. and finish at 8 o'clock at night, you know, as well as, you know, cooking some dinners in there and whatnot. It was brutal, but I absolutely loved it. At the time, I thought it was hectic, but looking back now, I've cut a lot of those pieces of the puzzle out now just to try to simplify my life. I miss it. Miss that. You know, I miss being that hectic. And now I sort of sit around, I've done my training for the day, I've done my work, and I'm like, what do I do now? what do I do now? And that's so weird of us.
That's what I think I'd be like if I tried to cut out all the stuff that I get done in a day. So I totally get where you're coming from.
It's being organized, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can't live that kind of lifestyle and have goals without having that planning and that very solid idea of what needs to be done in a day and how you're going to slot it all in, I think. And that goes for anyone, regardless of what they're doing in life. Planning is so important.
It's not only being physical. It's not only about going to the gym and stuff like that. It's about your food selection too. I guess people who aren't as prepared, if they're like thinking, oh, what am I going to have dinner at 5 o'clock at night? They're going to then go to the easiest option.
Exactly.
And that's going to be something that's probably not the most nutritious for you. And I see a lot of that with teenagers. They don't have that. A lot of them don't have, I guess, that organization yet and those qualities yet. And they will get there. Yeah. But they're like, oh, we're not organized. We haven't organized any food or whatever. Let's just get takeaway.
Yeah. Quick Maccas or whatever.
Yeah. Let's go. And that's just not the right thing. So if you're someone who might struggle to go out there physically and do training or exercise, and it is hard, well, if you don't want to focus on that and it might be a bit too hard, you might not have the time for it, I'm not sure, with family or whatnot, focus on your nutrition, focus on the food, and plan the week before. Maybe, you know, I like to, one of the things I like to do is I like to have a 2 week food plan, and we sit down and we put, myself and my partner put down the dinners we're going to have and the sort of the lunches we're going to have, and that means we're organized. We know what we're going to have. We're not like last minute, oh, let's quickly duck to the shops, we forgot those ingredients.
And when you do that, you become like, you find you lose so much time. Like, so much time is wasted on thinking about things at the last minute
it's just exhausting by the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I've had to think about and all my choices.
Yeah, and it is annoying organizing that 2 week sort of roster of food. Yeah. Like, you don't obviously do the same thing every 2 weeks, but you might mix it up. You might keep some in there all the time, the rotation. Yeah, it takes time on, say, a Sunday or whatever you do it, Friday afternoon. It might take an hour to organize that. But that 1 hour you've organized that, you add that 2 weeks of trying to think what you're going to cook and going to the shops and stuff like that, it equals a lot more than that. So definitely. Just time management there is crucial.
100%. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what's coming up for both of you? You've both done incredible things in the past, but for the future, what's coming up?
So for me this year, I'm just going to be working towards the World Para Athletics Grand Prix in Switzerland, which I'll have coming up in June. You know, like I said before, my hope was to try and make it to Paris, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get the qualifying times required before then, but we'll see what happens. Stranger things have happened. And then we will just keep working towards the Commonwealth Games and the Paralympics. If it happens, we'll see what happens with that, and then the next Paralympics. So yeah,
legend. What about you, Riley?
Yeah, for me, as I said earlier, before, by the time this podcast comes out, we've hopefully qualified for the Paralympic Games. So in March, mid-March, we go to New Zealand and compete against 7 other nations. Top 3 from that competition will qualify for the Paralympic Games. I am, you know, very confident, but as you said, stranger things can happen.
Exactly.
Hopefully not the other spectrum for us. So, yeah, hopefully by this time listening to this, we've qualified and we're on the road to the Paris Paralympic Games. I'm very confident about that. We're looking really good at the moment, the team. We're the world champions. We won the world championships in 2022, and then we won the World Cup in the end of 2023. So we're peaking at the right time, hopefully. So we're definitely in the run there, but we'll just take, so cliche of me right now, we're just going to take one game at a time. And I know that is so cliche, but seriously, that's right. You need to do that, because if you think too far ahead, you'll get called out, and it's happened to us before. We thought too far ahead and you get called out in the moment. So looking forward to this year. I'm just hoping my shoulder can hold up to it, and I know mentally I've accepted that I'm not going to be the athlete I once was, where I was, you know, a lot stronger and I could just hold those high intensities for, you know, that hour and a half game. I understand my body's not going to be at that peak shape, but as long as I can do what I can do for the team, and you know, let's say out of 10, if I'm hitting those 8s consistency, well then I've done a great job, instead of trying to hit those 10s and making more mistakes. So that's my goal personally. I'm looking forward to this year, and encourage you guys all to watch the Paralympics to to obviously watch wheelchair rugby, but definitely watched Natasha when she qualifies. Hey, we're right behind you, Natasha.
And
you know that.
Fingers crossed for both of you you achieve all those goals. So one of the questions that we ask all of our guests is, what about you or about fitness, health, all of what we've been talking about is unexpected?
I think for me is the level of anxiety that I suffer around this stuff. Now, people often look at me and think, you know, you're a positive thinker, you're very, very confident, and you know, you just go out and do the things you want to do, and how, and that must be really easy. But it's the battles that go on in behind the scenes in my head. But it's I am a bag of anxiety constantly, and it is a battle every single day to try and get past those anxious moments in order to go out and do the stuff I do.
Yeah. What about you, Riley? What's unexpected?
Yeah, well, Natasha sort of stole the words from my mouth, but sorry. It's okay, because I let you go first. So,
how dare you?
Don't be sorry.
I can change it if you like.
No, it's all good. I think it's very important, to be honest. And yeah, it's exact same as me. I suffer a lot of anxiety when I represent Australia, and a lot of people don't know that. And I am, before every game, probably too much information here, but before every game, I'm spewing up. No matter what's happening, and that's just because the pressure I put on myself.
Yep.
That's the pressure to succeed and play at the best. And a lot of people don't see that mental side of athletes, and they think it's just all fine and dandy and you just train and you get to just perform. One of the things what, you know, almost made me retire from sport is, it's not the hard work you have to do, it's not the travel, that's hard enough as it is. It's the pressure you put on yourself and the anxiety. Before every game, yep. I just can't handle it. And I go, what am I doing myself? Yeah. Why am I still putting this pressure on myself? And
I feel you.
Yeah, mental health is huge. And I think, we're talking about this topic is, I think just people just need to understand the mental health side of things is a real thing. It is a real thing. And it, don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid to, explain it to people. Just run with it and accept it. Like, yep, I'm anxious. Cool. You know what I mean? Yep. I'm just feeling a bit sick from all this stuff. Yeah, cool. All right, move on, Riley. So I'm learning constantly how to battle with my sort of anxiety there, and my mental health. And it's always going to be a battle. That's something for me. Hopefully that's the answer you wanted there. And we're both on the same topic.
I didn't want any answer. Just the truth, but thanks so much for mentioning that, because I suppose we see, and I'm generalising here, but the shiny Paralympian who doesn't have any worries, you know, but to be able to talk really honestly about that, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's very important, very important. You see so many people out there with, anxiety or mental health issues, and, you just need to find those positive people around you and those true friends who are happy just to be an ear. You know, they don't even have to talk back if they don't want you. They just need to be an ear for you just to vent to, and everyone goes through it. If you say you don't have any mental health issues or something, well, sorry, you're lying, because everyone has stresses, everyone has mental health issues, and it's not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing at all. Just talk about it. And if someone's paying you out about it, well, they're not the people you need to keep around you.
Oh, no, absolutely. I remember running something years ago that said that we assume the strongest people are all the guys in my gym, bodybuilders, lifting big weights. Nah, the strongest people are the ones who maybe sit on the couch and text a friend and go, I'm not okay, I need help. And that takes way more strength than it does to, you know, lift big weights at the gym.
Well, this could be controversial, like, but probably half of them are at the gym because they're worried about their self-image.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Potentially so.
You never know. Yeah. Obviously, they might just want to be healthy and fitter, but they also could be worried about their self-image. And that's okay. That's all right. You know, like, but you talk to people about it, accept it. Like, we've just talked about self-image earlier in the podcast, and it's we always, you know, everyone worries about what they look like at the end of the day, but you just got to try to get it in your head that worry about yourself, don't worry about what others think of you. Yep. Just treat people the way you want to be treated and move on.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, thank you both so much for having a chat with me today.
It's been a pleasure.
Really awesome to have you here, and so insightful.
Absolutely loved it. Thank you.
Where it's been good fun. Can our listeners find you? I know I love following both of you on Insta, but what are all your socials? Where can we find you?
Okay, I'll go first. on Instagram, I am the_invincible_woman. Also, you can find me at Invincible Official and the Two Cripples, One Pair of Legs podcast.
I love that. I might have to listen to that.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. Actually, we need to get both of you on the show, I think. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, I love that. It wouldn't be any pairs of legs then.
No, exactly.
You,
I know, right? I'd be the odd one out.
Yeah, for me, just social media is just Riley Batt. So spelt a little bit differently, R-Y-L-E-Y. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my parents had to just spell my name different just so no one knew how to spell my name growing up. But yeah, find me on Facebook or Instagram. But yeah, also do a little bit of a side podcast with guest host sometimes with Kurt Fernley called You Little Ripper. So I do love the podcast world, and that's talking about the Paralympics as well, and keeps you up to date with all the news there in the Paralympics. So make sure you not only listen to this podcast, you jump on You Little Ripper as well.
Oh, you guys are both, you've been hosting for years and you're showing me up here.
Not at all.
But no, thanks again. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Unseen Victories Beyond the Paralympic Glory. Since recording this episode, Riley Batt and the Australian Steelers wheelchair rugby team have qualified for the 2024 Paralympics. Congratulations, Riley. And Natasha has won the esteemed title of Gold Coast Para Sports Star of the Year. Well done, Natasha.
Thanks for listening to That Was Unexpected. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, then hit subscribe wherever you get your fix. Have any questions or topics that you'd love for us to tackle? Great! Email podcast@youngcare.com.au. We can't wait to hear from you. Check out our show notes for transcripts, video recordings, and to find out more about our guests, plus the useful resources they share. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn at Youngcare Oz. Let's not forget, an inclusive community is everyone's business. So let's keep working together to break down barriers and smash some stereotypes.